A lot of information's coming out very quickly about tax overcharges that sent thousands of homeowners into debt spiral, many ending in foreclosure. Yesterday at this time, we talked with the reporters who broke the story for the Detroit News Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. A second chapter of that story is on the way this weekend, and it focuses on what happens when foreclosures have made the city the prime landowner on your block. Craig Browning lives on Detroit's west side. He's the only remaining resident on his block. So basic maintenance, trash collection, if it's going to get done, Craig has to do it.
I cut all the grass. I pick up every morning, I come up and pick up all the papers from people just throwing the garbage out on the streets. I'm the one that does all this. I like things to look nice.
As if that kind of isolation isn't enough, watching the neighborhood evaporate, Browning himself almost lost his home to property tax debt.
I just need help. I didn't know that there was any kind of help that I could get. I was on my bed a few times with my pistol in my hand, crying, just crying, because I'm losing my house. I don't know what the hell to do.
Craig Browning narrowly avoided foreclosure after entering a program with the city. His story is one of many uncovered for the next episode of Reveal. Caitlin Allo, data reporter for Outlier Media in Detroit, was one of the reporters who worked on this project. Caitlin, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We know that people were being overcharged on their tax bills. What were you trying to find out for your piece of the investigation?
My component of the story really focuses on what happens downstream of that. So after widespread foreclosure, the properties go to auction, county auction, usually in the fall and the winter. The properties that go unsold in the auction end up back in the Detroit Land Bank Authority, and it's reached a point where they own really an unprecedented amount of property. They are the largest land bank in the nation. So my investigation was really focusing on the experience of Detroiters that are remaining and living as neighbors to the Detroit Land Bank Authority.
The information in this is really astonishing. Blocks where the city owns 50% of the properties. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about some of the people you met when you were reporting this.
I started off with just a bunch of data. And what I was really looking for was the distribution of these land bank properties and the remaining residents. So I went door to door initially. And I also looked at folks who were perhaps behind on their taxes, because my thought was there have to be some Detroiters who are facing foreclosure this year at the time, 2019, that if they lost their home, their block would essentially be entirely government owned. So that's where I started. I also had someone reach out to me with questions about what they could do about a property next door to them that was owned by the Detroit Land Bank Authority, and they had been trying to get it demolished for over a decade. And after talking to folks, I realized that they were facing issues ranging from squatters, generally like the nuisance of being next to an eyesore property, right? They feel like they step out of their home and they don't want to see it. And then also, you know, some stuff that's more severe, like exposure to lead paint and things of that nature. Also, having a hard time getting access to city services because they're on a block that is so less occupied, therefore less of a priority for the city.
What kinds of city services? I mean, with that degree of city ownership, what does that mean for the way that people live on those blocks?
All the folks that we talked to, their bulk garbage was not being picked up regularly, mail delivery. On the more severe side, I spoke with one woman whose water was shut off because the service line under her property had damage, and so there was a big leak. And usually that portion of the service line is the owner's responsibility to fix, with one big exception, and that's when the entire block is having the water main replaced to remove lead. But the problem is that if you live on a block that's almost completely unoccupied, you're never going to be prioritized for that kind of construction. And so it wasn't that being on an unoccupied block was the reason why her water was disconnected, but it was that she was less likely to have some sort of affordable resolution because she lived on that block.
How did the land bank respond to what you turned up in the story?
Well, I spoke with the executive director, Saskia Thompson, and one thing that she mentioned was that it is completely reasonable and to be expected that people are frustrated. because if you've been trying to get a property torn down that's next to you for years, it can be less than satisfactory to get this sort of answer that we are strapped for resources, et cetera. But from their perspective, I think it's a lot of inventory to move through. What I would say, from what I've heard from people who are living in such close proximity to these properties, is that they want transparency and they want answers. And they want it to be the case that when they call the land bank and they inquire about a property, or when they've been told that the property is going to be boarded up or that it's going to be demolished, that they actually get answers that are reflected in reality, as opposed to feeling like they're getting the runaround in the meantime while the land bank is grappling with how to deal with these properties.
Did you think that there's any possibility that the city is going to be in a radically different situation to deal with these questions in the near future?
No, I don't. So the Detroit Land Bank Authority is not required to take the properties that go unsold at the county's auction back into the city's sort of ownership. They're not required to, but because of the way state law grants land banks special powers to clear title quickly, the land bank, the Detroit Land Bank Authority, feels that they are in a better position to manage these properties than anybody else. And I think they are primarily overseen by the mayor, and it doesn't seem like they want to relinquish any of the power over the ownership of these properties to anybody else, including Wayne County. And so long as the county continues foreclosing on properties that do not get sold at auction and then end up back in the land bank, so long as that process happens at a higher rate than the land bank is selling, the land bank is only going to get bigger. One new thing this year is that the memorandum of understanding, or the contract between the authority and the city of Detroit, is expiring. So the authority is working on a new contract, and city council will have to approve it. And I've heard from both a city council member and the mayor that they would be in favor of creating more oversight from city council. But we don't know if that's going to happen, or how much that will really change the policies and the practices of the Detroit Land Bank Authority.
I mean, given that there's this structural problem with properties accruing within the land bank faster than there's being turned over, and given that the city process is not going to be super immediate, does that affect how property owners and residents are strategizing about their best step forward with this now? It just sounds like there aren't a lot of easy answers.
Right. There certainly aren't. I don't think anyone is saying that managing what is about 90,000 properties across the city is an easy task. Even though the Detroit Land Bank Authority is the highest staffed land bank in the nation, it's still daunting, right? It's a lot of property to manage. It means that in certain neighborhoods, they are basically controlling that housing market. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there is much strategy from individual property owners, except that they don't have a lot of options. We actually had an appraisal done of one of the properties and found the property had only gone up in value maybe $3,000 over the past two decades, in spite of all of the work that the owner had put into it, putting on new siding, redoing the roof, putting in a new driveway. And really, the idea of property ownership, especially in the United States, is that it's the most accessible form of investment for the middle class. And so across the nation, we sort of have this idea that living the American dream is to own your own home, and it's to be able to invest in it and renovate it and make it your own. And hopefully you will see something come of that. And given the housing market in Detroit, and because we're still dealing with the fallout from the foreclosure crisis, we are not seeing that dream come to fruition.
Has there been any conversation about alternative use of the land bank's holdings? If the buyers are just not there, is there anything else that could be done to try to get rid of inventory, maybe even in a way that might benefit residents who've lost a home?
Their spokesperson told me that they do have properties that they try to put up for sale and they just get no takers. So that certainly does exist, where there are no buyers for some of their properties. But another thing that we've heard from our news consumers is that they inquire about purchasing a property and the land bank isn't responsive. So there seems to be two truths that are existing there, both where they're unable to sell certain properties and then unwilling to sell others.
So there's a bureaucratic dimension to this.
There is an unclear dimension to this, one that we've struggled to get answers to. There is also the offloading of these assets in deals with private developers. The land bank did give over 150 parcels in the Fiat Chrysler deal. So that is one way that they are able to offload inventory. And part of that, which the mayor has also said, is that they don't have eminent domain powers for private development. I mean, that is one way that they are reducing their inventory, but still, as I said before, it's not nearly at the rate that homes are being foreclosed on and then getting transferred back to the city through the land bank authority. So the inventory is still growing. There won't be a solution tomorrow, but people are living next to these properties in the meantime.
That's Caitlin Allo from Outlier Media. Caitlin, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, April.
This story stems from a collaboration between the Detroit News, Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, and PRX. The audio companion to this story with new information from Caitlin's investigation can be heard this weekend on Michigan Radio. Reveal is broadcast Sundays at 8 p.m. You can definitely sign up for their podcast if you don't think you can listen at that time. Also, sign up for our podcast for yesterday's segment on the initial stages of the story.